Good morning.
The post-Christmas story is from Luke 2:21 through 32, on page 59 of the New Testament of the Pew Bible, on the screen or in the bulletin. It is the story of Jesus Christ, who had just barely a week after his birth, is taken by Mary and Joseph to the temple to be officially presented and named. Luke 2:21 through 32. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to the Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as a holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do for him what is customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. May the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. It was just a week ago that we gathered in this place and celebrated that Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem. And what was their primary purpose? The primary purpose in going to Bethlehem, it was to pay their taxes unto Caesar Augustus. But the story, that was the bad news. The good news is that while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And the story says she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, for there was no room for them in the inn. And we know that extended story says that the angels gathered in the midnight sky, the shepherds hastened their way to the manger scene. The wise men, they were coming from the east to the west. Mary pondered all these things in her heart. And Christ our Savior, the light of the world which shines in our darkness, was born. We now see that it's a week later. A week has passed from that silent night, holy night, and the Holy Family has traveled from the Bethlehem stable to the Jerusalem temple. It's only 6 miles. They went there to present their newborn, as prescribed by the law, to be named and circumcised. And while they're there, they're going to offer God the thanksgiving offering for the gift of a son. Story says that while they were there at the temple, they came upon a man who was very devout and righteous. He was faithful. His name was Simeon. Simeon, who only by the power of the Holy Spirit somehow, some way, recognized that the baby was the Messiah Savior. And the story says, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light to shine upon the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Simeon was evidently a man who was advanced in years, and now he was saying, I can now die in peace. I can die in peace because I have seen the salvation that God has been preparing through all of the centuries, from the very time of the beginning in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve rebelled against God's will. God had been staging and planning and promising that a Savior would be born, and now Simeon gets to see this Christ child. He's basically saying, I can die a happy, happy man, because it's a spiritual moment. It's a spiritual high. I've had a few of those spiritual highs in my life. Most times, though, it seems to be around sporting events. Well, it's like the time, let me tell you, it's like the time that I ran into the Admiral. You know that great Spurs player, the one that we know as David Robinson? Our Holy Ghost youth group, it was a junior high youth group. We went to a bowling alley in San Antonio, and he was there. It was a private party. He and his family were down in the last two lanes, and no one was allowed down in that particular area. But I saw that they were drinking lots of soda water, and I knew that David Robinson would have to eventually go to the restroom. So I kind of waited on the sidelines there. I was sort of in the background a little bit, and here he came. Here he came. He was taking his son, so, you know, gave him the courtesy of letting him go to the restroom. But, boy, when they came out, we jumped on him. And I reached out my hand, and he reached out his hand, which was just huge. And speaking of huge, as I looked up, he said, "Hi." And I said, "Hi." I didn't wash that hand for 6 months. It was a spiritual high. Or let me tell you about another time. Another time, Tammy and I took our children to the very first Aggie football game at the old Kyle Field. The old Kyle Field. The Aggies had just scored a touchdown. They were getting ready to kick the extra point. And of course, we, you know where we were sitting, right? We were in the end zone type of thing. But when they kicked the extra point, it went through the uprights, and I caught the football. And I was on the big screen, and I got to throw it back down on the football field. Oh, it was a spiritual high. I could have died a happy man right there. All kidding aside, Simeon's spirit exemplified this kind of joy. But it was a joy mine 100,000 times on steroid, as he had proclaimed that he had now seen the Christ child in person, and he could depart this planet in peace. But more than just seeing the Christ child, the story says something very important. It says that Simeon got to hold him. Literally, it says Simeon took him in his arms, and he praised God. That's what we're talking about, as we talked about in the children's message. Holding on to Jesus. Not just us remembering and celebrating this grand time, this wonderful time at Christmas, but holding on to the Christ child who actually holds on to us. You know, I think many of the times we think about God holding us, about Jesus holding us. And it's very appropriate, because in Matthew 11, for example, he says, "Come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you comfort and consolation. I'll hold you. You can lean on my shoulder." We think about Jesus holding us. Or I think about that other great passage. It's in Mark chapter 10, where the little children were coming to Jesus, and the disciples got mad and wanted to chase them off. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And then the story says that he took them in his arms and he blessed them. Again, Jesus holding on to us. Most times we do think about Jesus holding on to us. And yet this early, early story about the life and times of Jesus, Simeon is holding the Savior. I want you to think about the body language. Think about the body language. From heaven above to earth he came. God sent Jesus to be among us. It's kind of like a throw and a pass in football. God sent us, God passed to us that grace. But it's one thing for God to pass it. It's one thing for God to offer salvation, one thing for him to provide salvation, one thing for him to give us the gift of Jesus in his amazing grace. But we also have to receive it. How many of you received a Christmas gift, this year, maybe any year, that well, let's talk about this year. One that you probably won't really use. Anybody get a gift this year that you probably won't really use? Well, maybe the intent was good. You know, maybe you really love the person who gave it to you. You love the idea. You appreciate the thought behind the gift, but you really probably aren't going to use the gift. Well, back in the day, back in my younger day, before re-gifting was even invented, I had been given a gift. I was about 18 years old, and I had started now to shave about once a month. And so my grandfather gave me a gift, and it looked something like this. Anybody ever see one of those? It was one of those cups, and it had one of those brushes in it. And, you soap it up in there, and you take that brush, and you get down here, and you get your face all lathered up. Well, I really appreciated the gift. I really appreciated even more the giver. My grandpa even noticing that I had some peach fuzz that needed to be knocked down from time to time. He gave me this gift, but I have to admit, I never once used that device. Matter of fact, for the next 5 or 6 years, it collected dust in the medicine chest in my bathroom. It was a gift given, one that was truly appreciated, one that I really loved the person who gave it to me, but I really didn't receive it. I didn't really hold on to it, so to speak, by using it. How well are you holding on to Jesus these days? How securely are you embracing him in your arms? In his word, in his will? God knows we love him, right? God knows we appreciate his amazing grace given to us in the gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Some people suggest that many Christians admire Jesus, but they don't hold on to him. Do you hear the difference? To admire someone, to admire Jesus is to appreciate. to respect. To admire is to say thank you. Thank you in our hearts, in our minds, in our daily lives. To admire is to kind of hold in esteem at a distance. But to really hold on to is to embrace, to pull in closer. We can marvel at Jesus' amazing grace. We can marvel at God's marvelous mercy. But yet holding on to Jesus is allowing him to become a very vital fabric of our everyday lives. You know, what we're talking about is that him impacting and influencing us in a way. He's so close to us that he is a part of our daily walk in our decisions. We consider his will before we consider our will. We consider his word before we consider our words that come out of our mouth. It impacts and it influences. It has a fingerprint on our morals, on our ethics, on our sexuality practices, on our business decisions, on our forgiving ability. Even has an impact on our marriage vows, our language at work, our TV and internet viewing, our giving, our devotional life. Everything, every part of our life as we hold Jesus close has got to be impacted by our Savior. People who say that we admire Jesus say that we hold him at an arm's length, and we might call this a Luby's cafeteria style of faith. I really like Luby's. I like to go there, and you know, you're able to select what you want. But in our faith, we're not called upon to select the parts of our faith that we just want to partake of. God gives us an array of opportunities to serve him and to love others, to love him by loving others. But we're not supposed to go through the journey of life, through the line of life, saying, I want a little of this Jesus, but not that. I would like to have some of this, but not that. I don't want any of that, but I want a whole lot of this. To hold Jesus close is to have him up in our business, to have him up close and personal. in a way that he is permeating our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. There was a woman who went to church every single weekend. The doors of that church could not be open without this woman being one of the first people there. She was always, always in the house of the Lord. She faithfully attended worship one day a week. The other 6 days of the week, she claimed as her own. Now, this was a very nice lady, very wonderful lady, but she didn't really see the connection between connecting Sunday with Monday through Saturday. She really didn't consider how Jesus thought about her applying her life and her faith to the rest of her week. Of course, when she had problems, she was always coming before Jesus. She held him tightly then. But so much of her life in the other part of the week was very self-centered. Gray lies, a non-forgiving heart, lack of connection of being in the Word on a regular basis. There was a good friend, and it would take a good friend to say this. There was a good friend who approached her about her inconsistencies in her faith life, to which the woman very defensively said, "Hey, I believe in Jesus." The friend responded, "I know. I know that you believe in Jesus, but you sure don't embrace him in those beliefs." Holding Jesus means that we hold to his ways, especially, particularly, when the ways of faith may even go against the grain of the world or the grain of our own sinful humanness. Otherwise, when it comes to religion and faith, we're just holding to a made-up version of our own in terms of following Jesus. If you're like me, sometimes you hold Jesus close, near, and dear, and other times we fall into sin and temptation. We slide, we fumble the past that God has given us. We don't receive it. And for me, it's an important prayer to pray on a regular basis. We're going to sing it here in just a moment. The words of hymn number 400, and it's not a Christmas carol, but it's one that reminds me that God wants to transform every aspect of my life. Not just my spiritual life, but my relational, my financial, my educational, my vocational life as well. The words go like this, and I would encourage you, since you're in your bulletin, to take those home and pray those and read those on a regular basis. They say, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet." Boy, our feet can take us places, right? "Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips." Boy, my lips can praise God and sometimes they can curse others. "Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold." We're talking about our resources there, aren't we? Our finances. "Not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart. It is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. And last, take my love. My Lord, I pour at your feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee." You know, holding on to Jesus is more than just holding on to a cute little baby that was born in a manger at Christmas, but allowing the Christ child to grow up in our lives, leading us, maturing us, expanding us, stretching us in our faith to trust that holding on to God's way is the way, the best way, the truth, and the life. And again, if you're anything like me in your own brokenness, we find ourselves not holding on to Jesus all of the time. But thanks be to God for a day like today. A day like today where it's a pivotal day where we turn not only a calendar, but a new year. And God's grace is so much like that, that if and when we come before him asking for his Spirit to lead us in these places where we're not holding him near and dear and clear, to ask him to do that, that he gives us that fresh page in that new year and that fresh start. So what a blessed time it is to be able to come to this day, which we can come to him on any given day, and to hold on to Jesus. Even when we don't hold on to him, he holds on to us. And it reminds me of the man who's in a canoe, and he didn't know the waters that he was in the river, and he came across some white water. The white water tumped his canoe over, and there he was bobbing up and down the water, deep water, swift water, and he held tightly to his life jacket. But until that time, he was holding on to that life jacket, he banged his head into a rock and went unconscious. They later found him. They found him in the shallows. He was yet alive, and he had been saved. He had been saved not by his ability to hold on to the life jacket, but the life jacket's ability to hold on to him. In thanksgiving to God, we thank him for holding on to us even when we don't hold on to him. But we pray by the power of God's Spirit that we would indeed resolve in this new year to hold on to the one who continues to hold on to us. Amen. Amen.